Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski? The bombs.
We are back here on Overtime, hour number two, kicking off here, coming at you live from the Fan Room Studios. Hour down, hour remaining as we take you up till 8 o'clock. Cole, go ahead, go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk. Is it time for me to talk?
Give it to him, Tanner.
Breaking news.
Tell him the news.
HBO has selected my Oakland Raiders for this offseason's edition of Hard Knocks.
We knew it was coming.
Congratulations, buddy.
Going to have John Gruden, Antonio Brown,
everybody else.
All the other assorted cast of characters, brand new draft picks, Cleveland Farrell, Joshua Jacobs.
Yeah.
Oh, got a lot. Oh, got Richie Incognito, too.
You can't forget him.
That's going to be absolutely fantastic. The whole nation just gets to see how dysfunctional my team is.
Yeah.
We haven't even made it to year two of Gruden.
Yeesh.
It's going to be the last season in Oakland.
Yeah.
Last time training camp's going to be out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be surreal.
Sure. We're going to get up close to coaches like Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator. People will see what Bethune Gruden is. They really are.
Maybe by the end of this, Tennessee fans will be happy he is not our coach.
You should already be happy.
Yeah, I am.
You know what? And guess what? He ended up being my coach anyway.
Yeah, yep. That sucks.
Couldn't escape it.
What do you say about my luck, huh?
Sorry, bud.
My friend John, who's also a Raiders fan with me, he said, there's not a more Vols-type team in the NFL, a perfect match.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, they really are because it's like, they're not the absolute worst, like record-wise, but
yeah.
Damn it, they got a lot of wacky stuff going on.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Is this going to be the best season of Hard Knocks ever? Cleveland Browns season last year is pretty good.
Yeah. I think it could be.
I think it could be, too.
I think it could be, but yeah, Cleveland's going to be hard to beat.
That is true.
It should be fun. I am really looking forward to it.
They're going to laugh at us. I mean, they already laughed at us. But
I am really looking forward to it.
They're going to laugh with us more. Yeah. Coming to HBO officially August the 6th. This is coming from the NFL's account.
Oh, it's my birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Cole.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a nice birthday present.
I know. I can't wait to watch.
I mean, this is never in doubt. This is just going to be the perfect team. But just like the official team accounts, like proud of it. I get like it's a cool thing in a way, but also at the same time, like it's an unfiltered look behind the scenes of all the dysfunction.
Yeah,
of all the chaos here. The official Raiders Twitter account. I don't know who the hell they're quoting. I guess they're quoting Gruden here. It's some video. I'm not playing the audio. Quote: Everybody wants to be a Raider. Now they'll find out what it takes to become one. We'll see you in August. Can we move to Vegas already? Can we get attention for cool things? I get Hard Knocks is cool to outside fans, but I'm just like, oh, shoes on the other foot this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
Whatever. I'll just have to live with it, I guess. But Cole.
Yeah.
Get some attention off me here. Do your recruiting update. Just go.
Philip Fulmer has been doused with Tostitos chips, perhaps. Who cares? Here come Tennessee fans from everywhere. Here comes media from everywhere. You can count it down with us. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The national champion is clad in big orange. Are you ready for it?
Yeah. Are you ready? Okay. Tonight we will start with Richard, a.k.a. Richie Leonard. Mr. Leonard has Tennessee in his top seven schools. Opened up the notes app and typed out this. First off, thank you, God, for putting me in this position. Secondly, thank you to my parents that are there for me every step of the way with unconditional love, wisdom, and guidance. And a huge thank you to every single college coach and university that has believed in me enough to offer me a scholarship. I was blessed enough to receive 30 Division I scholarship offers. With that being said, it's best to narrow it down. So here are my top seven schools I will be focusing on from here on out of my recruitment. I will still be committing on my mother's birthday, July the 5th. As I already said, Tennessee has made the top seven. Along with Tennessee is Georgia Tech, Florida, Florida State, UCF, Kentucky, and Miami. Mr. Leonard is out of Cocoa, Florida at Cocoa High School. He's an offensive guard in the 2020 class, 6'2", 320 pounds, so an absolute unit. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 54th overall guard in the class, and 100th overall player out of Florida. Current crystal ball predictions sit at 83% to Florida State and 17% to Kentucky. It is interesting to note that he was a Kentucky commit, but decommitted from them not too long ago. Other offers, everyone I just mentioned, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Florida State, and many, many more. And another note on Mr. Leonard, he will be in Knoxville next weekend for a visit. So maybe a potential commit on the horizon. We'll have to wait and see. We move on to Bryson Eason. Mr. Eason has Tennessee in his top eight. Opened up the notes app. I cannot talk. I don't like it. He opened up his notes app and he typed out this. The recruiting process has been amazing. I want to thank my mom and dad and all of my coaches that have helped me throughout the whole process. I will be focusing on these eight schools from now on. Along with Tennessee are Arkansas, LSU, Florida, Ole Miss, Oregon, Memphis, and Mississippi State. Mr. Eason is out of Memphis over at Whitehaven High School. He's an inside linebacker in the 2020 class, 6'1", 238 pounds. Four-star guy according to 247 Sports Composite Rankings. 12th best inside linebacker in the class and 13th overall player out of Tennessee. Crystal ball predictions, kind of all over the place. 50% to Oklahoma, 25% to Ole Miss, and the other 25% to Arkansas. Other offers come from pretty much everybody. Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, Oregon, and many, many more. We move on now to Mr. Christian Stewart. Mr. Story, a wide receiver in the 2020 class. Let's see here. 6'1", 206 pounds. He is out of Lynette, Alabama, down at Lynette High School. Four-star athlete, according to 247 Sports. 13th overall athlete in the class and 9th best player out of Alabama. Other offers with a new Tennessee offer come from Texas A&M, Alabama, Duke, Florida, and then now, of course, Tennessee. Let's see. Up next, we have Terrence Lewis. Where'd you go, Mr. Lewis? Mr. Lewis is out of Miami, Florida. He's an inside linebacker in the 2021 class out of Northwest High School. 6'1", 195-pound linebacker. Four-star guy in the 2021 class, according to 247 Sports. Third best outside linebacker in the class. Eighth best player out of Florida and 67th overall player in the country for that 2021 class. Other offers come from Auburn, Clemson, Georgia, Miami, Oregon, and of course, Tennessee. We move on to Marcus Clark. Mr. Clark has Tennessee in his top 10. All he says is final 10, and then he puts them up here. Along with the Vols are Louisville, Ole Miss, West Virginia, Florida State, Illinois, Kansas State, Pitt, NC State, and Indiana. Mr. Clark is out of Winter Park, Florida at Winter Park High School. An athlete in the 2020 class, 5'11", 175 pounds. No rankings at the moment or predictions at the moment. Other offers come from Bowling Green, Cincinnati, Colorado State, UConn, FIU, and then everyone else I just mentioned. So congratulations on that. We move on to a guy Tennessee has been in on for a while, Mr. Jaheim Thomas. Mr. Thomas has Tennessee in his top seven, along with the Vols, are Michigan State, Louisville, LSU, Kentucky, Maryland, and Cincinnati. Mr. Thomas is out of Cincinnati, Ohio, up at Princeton High School. He's an outside linebacker in the 2020 class, 6'2 and a half, 215 pounds. Four-star guy, according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. 22nd overall outside linebacker in the class and fourth best player out of Ohio. Other offers come from LSU, Kentucky, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Tennessee, Louisville, and many, many more. We move on now to Janari Dean. Mr. Dean has Tennessee, let's see, in his top one, two, three, four, five. Tennessee makes a top five. He says, first, I would like to thank God for this opportunity he has given me. Thank you to my family, coaches, and others that have stuck with me through this process. I ask that my decision is respected and not questioned. This was a hard conclusion for me, but I finally narrowed my choice down to these five schools in no specific order. On July the 4th, I will commit to one of these five schools. Along with Tennessee is Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State, and South Carolina, so an all-SEC list. Mr. Dean is out of Batesville, Mississippi at South Panola High School. A safety in the 2020 class, 6 foot, 190 pounds. Let's see, three-star guy according to 247 Sports. 44th overall safety in the 2020 class and 18th best player out of Mississippi. Other offers come from South Carolina, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, and many, many more. A few more for tonight. We move on to Kobe Stewart. Mr. Stewart has Tennessee in his top seven. He tweeted out a nice-looking graphic, if I do say so myself. He says, rip, Grandma, look at your grandson. Tennessee is in the top seven, along with the Vols are Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, Arizona State, and Memphis. Mr. Stewart, out of Marietta, Georgia, down at Marietta High School. Teammates with Harrison Bailey, current Tennessee commit. Wide receiver in the 2020 class, 6'3", 180 pounds. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports. 185th overall receiver in this class and 100th best player out of Georgia. Other offers come from Arizona State, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Memphis, and, of course, Tennessee. Next, we move to Sam Brown. Mr. Brown also has Tennessee in his top 10. He says, thanks to the man above, top 10, my recruitment is still open. Along with Tennessee, the rest of the top 10 consists of Oregon, Colorado, Michigan, Purdue, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Wake Forest, West Virginia, and UCF. Mr. Brown, a wide receiver in the 2020 class out of Bloomingdale, Georgia, New Hampstead High School, 6'1 and a half, 186 pounds. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports. Other offers come from Oregon, Colorado, East Carolina, FIU, and Georgia State. And then last but certainly not least for tonight, a kid Tennessee has been after for quite some time. It's either Catan or Catan Crawford. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
So are you trying to say Tennessee is trying to be the settlers of Catan?
You could look at it that way, yes. You could look at it that way. Mr. Crawford has Tennessee in the final three, along with Tennessee are Texas and Oklahoma. Mr. Crawford is out of Tyler, Texas, down at John Tyler High School. He's a corner in the 2020 class, a four-star corner to be exact, 5'11", 200 pounds, 11th overall athlete, however, in the 2020 class, 30th best player out of Texas. Other offers come from, of course, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Arkansas State, and many more. And that will conclude a very long edition of a Tuesday recruiting update. Thank you.
Thank you, Cole, per usual.
You're welcome.
Here.
You're welcome.
Real quick, before we hit the first break of hour two, the U.S. Women's National Team kicked off their stay in the Women's World Cup out there in France. Did either of you see the result?
I did. Yeah.
I did.
Real quickly. So, U.S. defending World Cup champions, greatest national team in women's soccer history. We know all the stars. Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
Some of those names are turning from the last World Cup run here. Taking on poor Thailand.
Yeah.
Poor Thailand.
Sorry it had to be you, Thailand.
All you had to do was look at the pre-match line to see how this one was going to go. Vegas ended up being generous towards the Thai national team. Initially, it was a 7.5 goal underdog.
That is generous.
7.5 goals. Okay, that's like 60 points in football.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the U.S. Women's National Team covered. They covered, all right, to the tune of 13-0.
Almost double covered.
13-0. Ish. It's the biggest win in the history of the Women's World Cup. 10 second half goals. U.S. only had three. It was only 3-0 at halftime. Thailand would have taken that result.
Sure.
But nope, nope, nope. 10 second half goals. Alex Morgan, 5 goals herself.
She went nuts.
Almost a double hat trick.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. All sorts of records fell today. So I'm trying to see all these records here. You know, just shout to America. Never talk.
Yeah.
We don't talk a lot of soccer on here. Mm-hmm. But shout to our girls in the red, white, and blue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Obviously,
they're
here.
Killing it.
So yeah, this is the first match day in the group stage here. Of course, U.S. is the pre-tournament favorites here. Give me all these records here. I'm trying to go through this ESPN article. I just still can't get over 10 goals in the second half. 10 goals in 45 minutes. That poor Thai goalkeeper only stopped 7 shots.
Bless her.
Jeez.
She only stopped 7. She allowed almost twice the amount she stopped.
Golly.
Oh, it's bad. Thailand, they're actually not terrible, all things considered. They came into this match ranked 34th in the world.
Yeah, that's not bad.
This is not bad. 13 goals. 13 goals.
Man.
I can't get over it. Where's some records here? Let's see. There's a record for both margin of victory and goals scored. Surpassed Germany, women's national team, who previously in 2007 beat Argentina 11-0. So surpassed the record by 2 goals.
Wow.
Stupid. Just absolutely stupid. So that's your update from France. America, good soccer, at least on the women's side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Now, maybe the men's team can beat people 13-0.
That'd be nice.
That would be great, but hey, we'll take what we can get, I
guess.
865-546-8200. 546-8200. When we come back on the other side, a little bit more of the list here. Sports Illustrated had something kind of intriguing today. They listed some Heisman contenders, as a lot of publications do. Only they listed 117 potential winners.
Golly.
Of course, we're not going through 117, but we'll tell you somebody who is on this list here. May kind of surprise you when it comes time for somebody who might be on the Heisman watch list.
Oh, man.
We'll also tell you about Tennessee Vol on the defensive side, who's getting a lot of preseason love as well. All that more is coming up here on Overtime and hour number 2. Stick with us. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Got some more preseason goodness to get into today. First, we're going to tell you about this Tennessee volunteer on the defensive side getting a lot of preseason love here. You got Phil Steele's college football extravaganza preview that's coming out. It's basically the Bible for college football fans in the preseason. Phil Steele is going to tell you everything you need to know, and he has his all-conference teams, all-American teams as well. And today for the preseason, Daryl Taylor, named a preseason All-SEC first-teamer.
Okay.
According to Phil Steele. And the All-American teams, Daryl Taylor named to the fourth team.
Okay.
People expecting a lot out of Mr. Taylor this year.
Yeah, I am too. I think he can have a big, big year.
Will he finish as good as first-team All-SEC, though? You got a league with a lot of great pass rushers in it.
Yeah.
He's certainly capable of it.
He definitely is capable of it. And with the coaches around him now that, you know, are arguably some of the best in the country, and definitely the SEC, I don't see why he shouldn't have a big year.
That's good. So are we thinking that is he the de facto alpha, the de facto leader of the defense this upcoming season? Or do we – I don't know. Who would have that – who would take that title?
I think it's either him or Batuli.
He's going to be one of the linebackers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good players in the secondary, but most of them are younger.
Very young.
You need to look up to that experienced person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see Taylor and or Batuli being the team leader. I think, in a way, Batuli was the kind of the captain of the defense as it was last year.
Well, he's supposed to be because I know it's different in a 3-4. You don't have a middle linebacker in the 3-4, but he was basically a middle linebacker in the 4-3. Yeah. He's supposed to be the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes sense from that standpoint.
Yeah, it does.
But Daryl Taylor being definitely your most talented pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's going to be one of your most feared pass rushers, too.
Yeah.
Best player overall on the defense, though, I think I still have to get that to Bryce Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is hard to argue, especially what he did last year as a true freshman. I think it has to be Bryce. I think Taylor and Batuli are right there behind him, though. After that, it's just kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Got a lot of unknowns, too.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe, who knows, Aubrey Solomon, maybe he gets cleared.
Yeah, that would be
huge. He becomes a wrecking ball on that defensive line. He becomes the best.
He could be big.
I think Alante Taylor will have an even better year than he did this upcoming season.
That would be really good for him and Bryce Thompson.
I mean, I think Thompson is better in a way than Alante. I expect both of them to have big sophomore seasons.
We can only hope.
And you'd hope.
And maybe you see more than just Daryl Taylor on those end-of-the-year all-SEC teams.
Yeah.
Because, that's the one that matters the most here. But I was pleasantly surprised, though, seeing him getting first-team nods.
Sure.
I mean, it's one publication, but it's from a guy who knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mm-hmm. Phil still. Can't wait to pick up my copy this time around. I don't even know when it comes out.
I don't either.
Do you pick up a copy, Cole?
No, I don't.
You ever read it, Julia?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Either are you a big fan of the preseason mags?
I mean, I am.
Yeah.
I don't really buy them, though.
I used to buy the Football Time of Tennessee all the time.
I do buy that
yes.
one.
Yes.
Yeah, I do buy that one every year.
Shout out to friends of the station, Reed Carringer.
Yeah, I buy it every year. I got a lot of them.
All right, more list here. So I told you that Sports Illustrated gave a Heisman Trophy, not really a prediction thing, but they're talking about who's the most likely contenders for winning the Heisman. We do this every year. It's always fun to speculate about your potential 2019 Heisman Trophy winners here. Well, SI took it a little step further. They didn't just do a top 10. They didn't just do a here's your main contenders and some dark horses. The 117 college football players who could win the 2019 Heisman.
It's a little much.
I bet they'll find their winner out of 117.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure one of these guys might win.
You'd hope.
I'm not going through all this here. I will tell you, they divided this into tiers and gave their explaining. It's actually a nice little read. I will tell you, the group one, the elite quarterbacks on the elite teams. It's the usual suspects. There's only four candidates. It's Tua, it's Trevor Lawrence, it's Jake Fromm, and it's Jalen Hurts.
Okay. I honestly thought Herbert would be on that list.
Oregon's not an elite team, though.
That's true. That's true.
He's in this next tier. He's in the tier of very good quarterbacks on good teams.
Okay.
Six candidates. Shea Patterson, Michigan. Sam Ellinger, Texas. Ian Book of Notre Dame, which surprised me. Justin Fields on Ohio State. There's your Justin Herbert on Oregon. And you got Adrian Martinez of Nebraska.
Oh, are you kidding?
I don't want him to have too good of a career, man.
I don't either.
Oh, best of luck. I mean, I wish him no ill will, but I'm like, I don't want him to be a Heisman contender, man.
That's going to suck. Yes.
Keep going here. They divide this. Like the candidates on these different tiers get bigger. There's a good quarterbacks on good or pretty good teams, 15 candidates. I'm not going through all those.
Okay.
You have a group of non-Power 5 stars. Those are four candidates, all quarterbacks, by the way. Cole McDonald of Hawaii. Shout to guys named Cole.
Hey, you got to rip the brand.
You got Mason Fine from North Texas.
Okay. They did beat Arkansas.
That's true. Brady White from Memphis, and you're most likely non-Power 5 candidate as far as quarterbacks go. You got Derek King of Houston.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially at first year under Dana Holgorsen.
Mm-hmm.
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 You got some other stuff about first-year starters. There's 11 candidates. Group 6, all other Power 5 starting quarterbacks. Does it make it sound as impressive, does it?
No.
Not really.
The article reads, we can't rule out any player who starts for a Power 5 school. Any quarterback from a power conference has a schedule hard enough to get to the playoff with enough wins, and there's a precedent for a Heisman winner from a program with a losing history, RG3 from Baylor.
Ooh, wow, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's true.
In the 15 years before Griffin won the Heisman in 2011, Baylor had just one winning season, and that was a 7-6 campaign in 2010. If you're a Power 5 starting quarterback, you'll have enough opportunities to play your way into the Heisman race no matter who you are. 33 candidates. Of course, Jarrett Garantano.
Of course.
Is in the list.
God.
I kind of gave you the old switcheroo, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
was saying, you'd be surprised here.
Yeah. Mm.
Jarrett Guertaw technically makes a preseason Heisman list.
Under the others.
That's incredible.
I mean, the explanation isn't wrong.
Okay, what is it?
I mean, you could... No, he doesn't have, like, a Jarrett Guertaw explanation. Oh. It's just like a... If you start for a Power 5 team, I mean, Power 5 team could come out of nowhere.
I guess so,
You're
yeah.
always going to play tough enough opponents to get attention if you have a really good season.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
This list is still pretty good because they get to there's a group for running backs. There's 21 workhorse running backs. Group 8 is the Adrian Peterson category.
Okay.
Running backs like this. There's 4 candidates. John Emery, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jerrion Ealy of Ole Miss, Zach Charbonnet, I think that's how you
say
that.
Where does he play?
Michigan. And Trey Sanders of Bama.
Yeah, Trey Sanders, yeah.
So a guy coming into his freshman season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just absolutely wrecking everything. Only one true freshman has been in top 3 in Heisman voting since 1988. That was Adrian Peterson in 2004.
Okay. Wow.
Just shy of 2,000 yards and 15 touchdowns in his freshman season. So there's your 4 candidates who could have an Adrian Peterson type of year. He has 11 candidates that are generational wide receivers. A couple of the highlights, Jerry Jeudy of Alabama, of course. You got Rondale Moore of Purdue, who's absolutely electric.
Yeah.
T. Higgins and Justin Ross of Clemson.
Oh, that's great.
Gotta be great to be Clemson right now. They got a wide receiver from Memphis, too.
Yeah.
Here's Group 10 defensive playmakers. We know the one defensive player to win Heisman. We don't need to get into that. They are talking about it's Charles Woodson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about like this year.
No.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Here's your 8 defensive candidates for the Heisman. I'm only going to name some. You got Grant Delpit of LSU is really good. That's the only like name I really know. I like on the top of my head. You got a dude from Michigan, Shaq Corbin, Miami. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You got a dude from Michigan State, Kenneth Murray, Oklahoma, Caden Stearns from Texas, Troy Dive, Oregon, and Alohi Gilman. That's a nice name. It's from Notre Dame.
Okay.
So there's 117 Heisman candidates.
Wow.
I think they'll pick the winner out of those 117.
I think they'll pick the winner out of that
first group.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be Trevor Lawrence, isn't it? It's going to be Trevor.
Yeah.
It's going to be Trevor.
As long as he doesn't get hurt, yeah, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
It's Trevor, too. I mean, Tua had that thing running away up until, you know, Kyler Murray just
lit
went video game numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Tua had to miss most of that SEC championship game.
Yeah.
So that didn't help his case. He basically lost it when he had to go out of that title game with the injury.
Yeah.
Yep.
So who are you putting our money on more?
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sunshine.
Like Lawrence,
Sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, he is, you can make an argument that both of these guys are, in their own way, almost once in a generational type player. They're both fantastic. They have two different styles of play, and they work great, you know, as they are. But I don't know, the way Trevor Lawrence came in when he did against, was that Syracuse?
Yes.
When he came in?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
From Syracuse on, and then leading them to the title as a freshman, which I know Tua did too, don't get me wrong. But
no, it wasn't Syracuse. He got injured in that Syracuse game. It was that third stringer who won that game.
That's true. Okay.
But it was his team after that.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. The way he plays the game versus Tua is a lot more impressive to me.
I mean, all you had to do is go back to that Texas A&M game. He's a true freshman on the road, not in game, Texas A&M, Kyle Field.
Yeah.
And he splits those carries with, why am I forgetting?
Kelly Bryant.
Wow, that was a big... I'm like, how did I forget his name? Yes.
He's been so good, he forgot who the other quarterback was.
Kelly Bryant, yes. Splits those snaps with Kelly Bryant. And all I have to look at is that connection to T. Higgins and his other passes. Like,
yeah.
He just knew that guy was just made for the bright spotlight.
Yeah. I mean, he has the build and the makeup to be a great college and NFL quarterback. I think it's got to be Trevor. It has to be.
Where's number 16 for Peyton Manning?
Yeah, don't remind me. It'll be tough. I think it'll be tough for the voters, though, because, they're both elite quarterbacks on elite teams playing in you know, probably the two, I would, well, two of the better conferences in college football. SEC definitely number one. ACC, you know, they're all right, I guess. So I could see where it could be tough, but if I had a vote, yeah, it's Trevor.
It's going to be hard for a quarterback to not win the Heisman this year.
Yeah.
Between Trevor Lawrence and Tua, you also have Sam Ellinger at Texas. You have Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. Let's not discount Oklahoma having three different Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks 3 years in a row.
I mean, you got Fromm and Herbert sitting out there, too.
Like, yeah. it's probably going to be quarterback.
This quarterback class for this next NFL draft is going to be absolutely loaded.
Watch me be wrong if some running back wins the Heisman this year.
I would love to see it, honestly.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
So another break here. Got birthdays on the other side. Cole versus Julia. It's going to be a good one. Don't miss it. 865-546-8200. You're listening to Overtime right here on Fan Run Radio. June 11th, it's time for birthdays here. Another good day. Eight birthdays into this day in history. Best five out of nine.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's grade this here. Pretty decent name. I'm going to give this a B+.
Okay.
Some would argue A-. It's okay. It's good enough to get you a nice scholarship.
Sure, yeah, B+. I love B+.
That's good enough.
I'm all about the B+.
Let's hop into it here. First up, he is 22 today. He's an American rapper. Don't we wish we had Daniel Bradman here?
Yeah, he'd be asking where he was born.
This one is notorious for his run-ins outside the rap game. I don't think he's not currently in prison. He has been recently in prison, though.
Whoa!
Okay.
Been recently in prison. I'll tell you some of these songs. He's known for songs such as ZZ, Roland
Kodak
Pete.
Kodak Black.
Is Kodak Black.
Kodak.
His real name is Bill Capri.
Oh, really? Man.
Wow.
Noted criminal and Florida Gator fan.
Sure, of course. Yeah, it makes sense.
I like ZZ. I like that song.
This is if I was on the drive, I'd play the Go Gator.
Go Gator.
What's some of the legal issues he got into? Just plenty here.
It's a plethora.
Yeah, go Gators, man. The last one here on Wikipedia, May 11th, so just a month ago, he was preparing to perform at Rolling Loud Miami. He was arrested on firearm charges before he could perform.
Jeez.
Arrested by Miami PD and federal officers and is facing state and federal charges.
That's intense.
Woo!
Man.
Imagine being at Rolling Loud, getting ready to see Kodak Black. It's like, I'm sorry, Kodak can't come out. He just got arrested. Just got arrested for having like 50 AK-47s in his tour bus. Sorry, go Gators.
Sorry, everybody.
Let's keep going on here. Julia on the board, 1-0. 33 years old today, American actor. He's had a career that started since he was a child. It's pretty crazy now.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
Even Stevens.
Known for Even Stevens, Holes, Disturbia, Holes. Transformers, and the awful, awful Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Have you seen that video of him when he got arrested just a couple weeks ago when he was drunk? Have you seen that?
I have actually not.
I think it was on, I was watching, I think it was Live PD a couple weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
And it was him, and he was really drunk, and they had the camera rolling like in the car as they were taking him down to get booked.
Wait. Shia LaBeouf got arrested on Live PD?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
And they had the video and audio running on the camera while they're taking him down to get booked. And he is just talking to this cop like he's a dog, telling him he wants to throw hands with him and he will bleep and kill him if he lets him off or lets the cuffs off and stuff. Like, he is going insane.
He has gone off the deep end.
He is going insane on this cop. You should look it up. It's actually pretty funny.
I'm looking at Shia LaBeouf like arrest. Like, there's like multiple videos of different arrests.
Oh man,
this was just maybe 3 weeks ago.
Weird dude.
Yeah, he's odd.
Off the deep end here. Let's keep going. Let's go around this list here. 30 years old today. She's actually a WNBA player, multi-time champion at UConn.
Maya Moore.
Is Maya Moore?
Oh, Maya Moore.
Yeah.
2-1, Julia. He is 59 today. Let me get up here. He is a Turkish-American TV personality, cardiothoracic, I think that's the word, surgeon.
Dr. Oz?
Is Dr. Oz. He's also a pseudoscience promoter and author. A lot of people don't like Dr. Oz.
Yeah, why is that?
Says he's a quack, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay.
Had a show.
Yeah, he did.
How long did he have that show?
I don't know. Is it still going on? It felt like a while.
It's still going on.
Is it really?
It's actually still going on. It's been on since September 09.
Okay.
So 10 years now.
Okay.
All right. 2-2 here. Let's keep on moving. Good competitive game so far. He is 60 today. English actor. Let me get up all his accomplishments here. He's also a director, singer, and musician. He's also a comedian.
Jeez.
I did forget he was a comedian.
Everything.
He first gained recognition for his work over in England. He was part of a comedy double act with Stephen Fry. He eventually moved on to be in films such as Sense and Sensibility, 101 Dalmatians, Stuart Little as well.
Hugh Laurie?
It's Hugh Laurie.
Oh, it is Hugh Laurie.
And then in 2004 portrayed the title character on House.
Yeah. I love House.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite shows.
Yes.
Happy.
I could binge watch that for days.
Happy 60th, Hugh Laurie. 3-2, Julia. Good game so far. I'm improving this list to an A-. This is actually a very good
list.
Pretty
good list. A-.
Yeah, these are big names. Yeah.
63 today, NFL legend. He was a quarterback, multi-time Super Bowl champion, played his college football at Notre Dame.
Joe Montana?
It's Joe Montana. Okay. It's Joe Cool. One of those titles with the Niners. One of the GOATs.
Yeah.
All right, 3-3. This is really good. It's back and forth. I like it. Very competitive. We got two more birthdays before we do this day in history.
Okay.
First of five gets it. Let's do our one dead person today. He would have been 86. Passed away in 2016. He was one of the many celebrities that 2016 took from us. He was American actor, screenwriter, and director. Known for appearing in films such as Blazing Saddles.
Gene Wilder.
It is Gene Wilder. Young Frankenstein,
Willy Wonka.
And most known for his portrayal of Willy Wonka in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, 1971. Yep.
Much better Willy Wonka than Johnny Depp.
A million times.
A million, yeah.
I like Johnny Depp.
You get nothing. You lose.
Oh, wow.
I love him in Blazing Saddles, though. Blazing Saddles, definitely, probably the most controversial film of all time.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Gotta be careful watching it anywhere today, but Blazing Saddles, absolutely fantastic. 4-3 Colt. All right, last birthday today. Julie gets this. We do a winner take all this day in history.
Oh.
So is drama.
God, I hate this.
He is 50 years old. You both will know him.
Oh, no.
Julia, you might want to get him first, though, because you definitely have the closer connection, I think, from a show he was on.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
He's one of the stars of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
He's been in other movies such as, let's run through some of these here, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Peter Dinklage!
Peter Hayden Dinklage.
My little buddy.
I should have just started naming off Game of Thrones really characters should've. Because as soon as you said I was like, okay, Game of Thrones.
He's a 50-year-old man, and then I narrowed it down.
I didn't think he was that old. I guess he is.
You could have said Peter Dinklage, Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
I know. Gosh, I regret this.
Peter Dinklage.
Old Dink.
Dang.
50 years old, and when we were kids, we saw him in Elf.
Yeah.
Must be one of the South Pole elves.
Call me
an angry elf.
One more time. Oh, he's an angry elf. Happy birthday, Tyrion. I don't know why the major character is so dumb the last 2 years. If you ask D&D, they're like, oh, we kind of forgot Tyrion was supposed to be smart. You know, we kind of made Tyrion a character who was like, let's take all the women and children down the crypts of Winterfell.
I know.
Where all the dead bodies are that can be rose from the dead by the Night King.
Still one of my favorite characters, though.
Tyrion's so good, though. Glad he survived.
Yes.
Glad he did not die, at least.
I wouldn't have been able to handle a Tyrion death.
Absolutely not. Happy birthday, Peter Dinklage. Cole wins a very tightly contested game. Let's just do this day in history for fun. We go back to this day, 1979. Already 40 years ago. This day, 40 years ago, this actor passed away. Screen icon of a certain genre.
John Wayne?
John Wayne.
Oh, John Wayne.
The Duke passed away.
Oh, man.
Passed away from cancer.
Big day.
Is that what it was?
Cancer.
Really? Oh, man.
How old was he when he died? I had to feel like he wasn't as old as you think he was.
60s?
Oh, I'm 72. 72. Okay. What was it? Yeah, he died from cancer, though. You don't actually know his birth name, Marion Robert Morrison.
Did not know
and
that.
For some reason, changed his middle name to Marion Mitchell Morrison. Only known professionally as John Wayne.
Right.
So that's a little bit of trivia for you. Anyone ask you what John Wayne's actual first name was, just say Marion.
Marion.
He was Marion. that does it for birthdays. Tightly, hotly contested game, but is in the books here. One more segment of overtime coming up on the other side. Oh, yeah. Last segment of me for the week.
I know.
Going off to the farm, boys Jeez. And girls. Going out to Bonnaroo.
Gonna get crazy.
Oh, rude.
First time I've ever been to Bonnaroo. First time I've ever been to a multi-day music festival, too.
Well, have fun.
I'm going to camp. I'm going to probably smell bad by the time it's over.
Oh, I'm sure.
We'll look forward to hearing the stories.
Cannot wait. So we're going to have to make it a good one here when we come back. 865-546-8200. Wrapping up overtime after this. Last segment of overtime here on your Tuesday. Let's go ahead and go over to the Fan Run phone lines. Grab a call from Roger Roger. Welcome on to overtime, brother. What you got for us?
I always wanted to ask you about the game. I just wanted to ask y'all about the fan team. But first, I want to ask you is really. Julie, how you doing, ideally?
I'm good, Roger. How you doing?
Oh, fine. I'm fine. Julie, that's what I asked you. But that's not what Golden State winning last night. That's what I asked you. I mean, they played great. I thought the effort was great. I thought. Would you surprise how well they played last night?
Yeah. Julie? I mean, it was a little surprising after, you know, KD got hurt, how they, you know, were able to keep their lead for most of the game until the very end there, and they, you know, you could tell they really rallied around the team after KD went down, and that combined with, you know, the Raptors kind of blowing it there at the end and choking a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Do you think Golden State won it more? You think, I know they played, I know both teams played well, but do you think the way the effort by Golden State, you think Golden State won it more, or you think?
Clearly for a lot of moments in that game after Durant went down, Raj, it seemed like they used that as a rallying point to try to win that one for him. But they really kind of ran out of gas at the end right there. So at the very end of that game, I think it was less about Golden State wanting it more and more about the fact that Toronto just handed it to them. Nick Nurse called that timeout after Toronto took a six-point lead. They just gotten the ball back after a missed Steph Curry three-pointer. The way that momentum was rolling towards the Raptors' favor, they could have made that at least an eight-point game and even further extended that lead. But all that momentum got killed. It gave time for Golden State to recuperate and strategize again, and Toronto couldn't make shots when they needed to. And at the end of the game, it got proven that, hey, Golden State's not dead yet. They still have that championship killer mentality. They've won multiple titles here this decade, and it showed you one of the reasons why they've done that.
Right. Yeah, and also, Julius, I said Julian, Tanner, too, and Cole, too, I just want to ask you, at the end of the game, when Curry got hurt, and the fans got was cheering like he was they were cheering, but he was hurt.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and go first about that. I mean, Raj, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I'm thinking about being in their shoes. maybe at the point where it happened that they didn't, that the fans didn't think it was that bad when he first went down. Now, obviously, that's not an excuse for doing what they did. Heat of the moment thing in an environment like that, not really excusing them too bad, because I said when all those fans found out that he has actually torn his Achilles, I bet they felt pretty bad. No matter what Kevin Durant's done about joining the Warriors, no matter what you think, what his commitment is, he does not deserve a career-altering injury like that. So, very, very, very distasteful from the Raptors fans. Anyone who really, really like cheers for a player to be harmed, especially when they haven't done anything as a person to deserve that, it's just slow, man. You need to think before you do stuff like that. Rod, you got one more question for us, man?
No, that's all. You have a good night. Good night.
Hey, good night, Roger, brother. Thank you for calling in, my friend. Anyway, that about wrapped up here. How much time did I got, Cole, before you got to hit the music?
Couple seconds.
Well, that'll do. Let's see if there's anything I can touch on real quick here before I make my exit for the week. Real quick, we didn't get to talk about yesterday. Tony Parker retiring after 18 seasons.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, just more players from our era, from when we were kids.
I know. Kind of sad.
We're getting way too old.
We're getting old.
All right. Sad. I think I ran out of material here, so that will do it. I'm off to the farm. I'm off to hang out with a bunch of hippies. It's going to be great. For Julie Ramsey and Cole McCormick, I'm Tanner Carson. You've been listening to Overtime. These two will keep on carrying the show in my absence these next 3 days, so definitely tune in to them tomorrow. Same time, same place, 6 o'clock. I'll see you all next week.